Yeah. The other one I think of, this is just for me, but Scott Joplin's The Entertainer.
That's for you?
Yeah, that's for me. That's what's playing in my head.
That's funny. Talk about old school.
It doesn't totally make sense, but...
Welcome to our Film Fathers Podcast, the definitive podcast about fatherhood, film, and fatherhood in film. This is Jelani, and with me as always are two guys who threw at their own sons in the father-son game, Martin and Brady.
Just a reminder, fans, coming up is our Die Hard night here at the stadium. Free admission to anyone who was actually alive the last time the Indians won a pennant.
Just a bit outside. Ball four. Ball eight. Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 consecutive pitches.
This week, it's about that time of year. It's almost time for opening day. On that note, we watched one of the greatest sports movies ever made. At least, it's the best baseball movie ever made. Or is it the best baseball comedy ever made? It's arguable about where it falls in the all-time ranks, but one thing that's undeniable is that this movie is an all-timer. What do you guys think? Does this movie still win the whole fucking thing?
Guys, it was fun. It was a fun rewatch. It's been years for me.
So, I've said it for quite some time. I rewatched this movie for the first time in multiple years. This movie is in my top five all-time comedies. It remains there. To me, this movie is almost flawless.
Whoa.
I fucking
Brady
love it.
Brady gushing. I haven't seen Brady gush in a long time. Actually, Oppenheimer gushed a bit.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer, at least that was new. This movie is so ridiculously good, and it drives me crazy when people don't give it its due. So please, bring your hate.
All right, you'll knock everything down any criticism I have of it. I love it.
It's so good, dude. This movie is, I feel like I know I'm wrong, but I feel like this movie is like age proof. That like anyone could watch it now and still find it hilarious. But I know that I'm wrong. I know that like the youth of America would watch it and just like find it unfunny and make them wrong as we expect them to be. But
so my friend at work, Amanda, she loves doing Letterboxd, and she has her system, and she's like, I have very, very few 5-star movies. You know, there's lots of 4-star, lots of 4.5. 5-star movie for her is one that you can't really explain to anyone why it's your favorite movie or why you love it or why it's the best. And you know it's not perfect, but
wait,
it's perfect.
Sorry,
to
clarify
you.
What you're saying. I'm saying
this is
her
your
classification
five-star
system.
Movie. Yeah, this is your 5-star movie. Like, it's not, you're not saying that it's the best movie ever, but for you personally, it's flaw, like you said, near perfect or flawless, or and you just love it. And
yeah. I like we kind of alluded it to there in the opening. You tell me you want, if someone says like, oh, name your top five baseball movies, this has always been in it for me, and it will be, and I think it deserves to be. But I think the default is like serious movies, even funny, even League of Their Own, right? Like, I think it's like the comedy that people think of more. Sorry, in my opinion, this is way better than League of Their Own. Like, this is a better movie. This is a funnier movie. This is just better, in my opinion. I get it, but like, they're just, I like other baseball movies. This movie deserves to be in the top five baseball movies. This deserves to be in the top five comedy movies. It doesn't let up from start to finish. It's
Jelani,
great.
What do you think?
Sorry, Jelani, talk.
Now, I'm going to let Brady just keep rolling with it.
Let
but
him cook.
Yeah, I agree. It holds up really well. I watched it earlier this week, and I was like, going back through it, and you see it in the very beginning, you're like, oh man, this is going to feel dated. Like, you see the way that it starts to play out, and you're like, oh man, this isn't going to play the same way. And then as soon as they get to camp and they start pulling the people together, you're just like, oh yeah, this is it. This is good. And then just left, right,
yeah, it's
one
it's,
after another.
It's
just
a
keeps
prototype,
coming.
Right? It's a prototype for like a lot of movies that came after. I thought of The Replacements a couple times. You know, the football movie that we did at one point, which was, you know, you try to have this like kooky cast of characters that are. That you follow along, and each one's a little bit different. But I think this one, every single player that they follow is perfect and has like the best role, or plays their role perfectly.
They're just well, and for me, I mean, and granted, this is where you get when you like love a movie and you've seen it so many times. Like for me, it starts right out of the gate. Right, you have Randy Newman, you know. Singing about song. Burn On Big River, you know, which made me laugh because I remember him like the family guy.
Yeah, there's Randy Newman singing about what he sees.
The Cuyahoga River.
Right. Not funny.
It's like, right.
But
like
that becomes funny.
It's funny. But that stuff, like, so literally, like, the opening credits are rolling and I'm laughing. Like, I'm laughing at Randy Newman.
A silly song. Or not a silly song, a serious song.
I think it's even funnier when you just think about, like, Martin, you said it was the prototype for, you know, like, The Replacements.
Necessary Roughness, right? Or
Necessary Roughness. They even pulled some of it for, like, Ted Lasso,
yeah.
Right? Because, you know, she doesn't want the team to win
Correct.
In the beginning. She
I
wants them to lose.
That's exactly right.
So she finds somebody
who
I can lose.
But that's good. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, first episode of Ted Lasso, very much.
No, you guys are 100% right. I didn't even think of current stuff. I think it's just because I was so enamored to, like, dive back in. But, like, that's a great – and they said there was some, like, real-life analogies or inspiration
yeah.
behind that, which is not crazy to believe, right? Like, that there were – I don't know about, like, a Vegas dancer who was, like, you know – inherited the team, but literally to me, like the jokes are happening from the beginning of this movie. So Martin, we were talking kind of beforehand and talking about Coach. So I think Coach Lou Brown is just
he's perfect.
Like every time I see this movie, I'm like, how is this guy not a goddamn superstar? How are there not like movies written for him to just be?
I can't think of a more quintessential baseball coach.
My God, he is absolutely
from the
perfect.
Mustache, the voice, the attitude,
the voice,
but that he still the, like, you know, loves it, but kind of pretends to hate it, but loves it at the same. Like everything about him is pitch perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, Lou Brown. So we were joking about the line, the funny, because he has got some great lines throughout the movie, and to me, always the funniest line has always been. When they call him about the job, he's like, hang on, I got a guy on the other line about some white walls.
I'm too old to be jumping behind lockers.
It just floors me. The white walls line to me is just so goddamn funny. It kills me every single time I see it. And I mean, and there, like I said, there are many of them. Like, you may run like maize, but you hit like shit.
Forget about the curveball, Ricky. Give him the heater.
Saying that there's like a best Lou Brown line is really a pantheon because there is an endless array. And you're like, how is this guy not in? I feel like he was before his time. 20 years later, he's got like a 5-movie deal.
But then he's played by Brian Cox and not by the guy, Jason Garman, I think is the actor.
I think that's right.
James Gammon?
James Gammon. Close.
I think you said, did you say, I feel like you said Brian Cox because, like, you could say that he looks like Brian Cox's brother in his oldest age.
If Brian Cox and Wilford Brimley had a kid, get Coach Lou Brown.
I mean, I was, like, making a note. I was, like, making, as it was going, I was making a list of, like, the funny lines. And one, like, I almost got carpal tunnel, but, like, it's
I find
non-stop.
I find the The guys in the outfield, you know, like with the that do the wild.
Oh, the fans?
Yeah, the fans, but they're the ones with the drums and everything. When he's like, oh, yeah. No, too high, too high. He's like, what does that mean, too high?
Yeah.
He's like, who gives a shit? It's gone. But,
that one to me, they're funny. To me, like, they don't even come close.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a nice little touch.
They're putting together a list of players. Like, this guy here is dead.
They cross him off
then. Like, that shit is so simple to me that it just. I wish we had him 2 years ago. We did. 4 years ago then.
For me, the line that I'll never get older is the exchange between Serrano and Harris when they're in the locker room, and he's like, you should probably, you know, turn your life over to Jesus Christ. He's like, Jesus, I like him, but he no help with the curve. He's like, yeah. Are you telling me Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
Oh my God, it's
so good. Such a weird character, such a weird casting, but I love him.
Well, here's the thing, so there, Martin, and we. So Harris has got an inch. The actor that plays Harris has a.
He's a that guy.
Interesting little backstory.
What else is he in?
Well, like, so
I've seen him in 50 things, but
so he's played by Chelsea Ross. That actor, Chelsea Ross, played baseball, basketball, and football in high school. He was a three-sport athlete star, and he has played in a baseball movie, Major League. He has played in a football movie, Rudy.
Okay.
And he's played in a basketball movie, Hoosiers.
Oh, the other two movies we've done now.
I would argue, if you were to ask most sports fans and / movie fans to name you a top five baseball, football, and basketball movie, he's been in all of them. He's on all those lists. Chelsea Ross, sneaky, great sports actor.
Very good.
Doesn't touch Dennis Quaid, but, you know.
I don't remember the line from when I watched it as a kid at all, what he was talking about, what he has on his shoulder, and then he's got Vagisil on
the
side.
Oh, all the shit that he's got on him. Vagisil is what you remember, I guarantee you. Totally, that. Yeah. That's the one that stuck out to
probably
kids.
Didn't know what that was as a kid, right? But yeah, and he says, put snot on it, and you'll do it too. Yeah. If I had an arm, because I don't have an arm like yours. But yeah, that's a great, great bit of dialogue right there.
Well, and through, so I'll tell you, you know, I think a lot of people say this, and you recognize this as you watch these movies that I've seen. I mean, I bet I've seen this 30 plus times. And that might be low, is the things you pick up on that, you know, that you've heard a million times, but I think it's more about what you retain, you know, like you've heard all these jokes. The thing I swear I don't remember hearing before, but I'm sure I have, but I just, that is Harry Doyle, Euchre's character, saying as whenever Harris was pitching, he's like, oh, there's a Vaseline ball. And it's like, oh, that's a KY ball coming. Like, he was literally like calling out those things. And I was like, I don't recall ever catching that before. And it was like different games. It was like,
can you guys explain to me? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, so no, it killed me because I caught it this time around and I was like, how did I never remember that part?
Can you guys explain to me how that works? Like, what, putting a little bit of pine tar or whatever they do on there, what it does?
It's all about grip and like the laces and whether you're getting
the spin on the ball.
And yeah, you can get more spin on the ball if you can get more grip on it. So if there's
something sticky and then gives you more spin.
Can I explain it to you enough to make you understand the physics behind it? Probably not. But that's what it comes down to. It's like you're getting something to get more of a grip on the laces, which allows you to spin the ball more.
Got it. And then it moves more.
Which allows you to get movement and or speed.
I understand the movement. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just thought, I think it's great. I think they leaned hard into that with him essentially showing like the five different things and parts of his body that are associated with it. But then to have Euchre throughout the movie, like referencing that he's throwing like a KY ball or about, oh my God, I was fucking dying.
Martin, do you know about Bob Euchre,
Who
he is and what he's done?
Yeah, I know he played baseball, right? And then he was in Mr. Belvedere. That's about all I know.
Is that all you know?
So. Oh, maybe. Wow. Is there something else I'm supposed to?
Yeah.
So he was an announcer for a long time for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Is currently.
Is he still there?
He's still fucking there.
Yes.
Well, you know they shot this movie in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee, yeah. Because that's the old Milwaukee County Stadium, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Like a slap, slap in the face to Cleveland, but okay.
Well, I think it was more. I think it was timing out with them transitioning. I could be wrong on that. Literally, the stadium they went from Milwaukee County Stadium to a new one, but.
I guess you're right. I did know he was an announcer, but I didn't know. I didn't know he still did it for sure.
But that's actually not how he got the job, even though. So. The director David S. Ward asked Uecker to play Harry Doyle in the film. He chose Uecker because of his acting work in Miller Lite ads, which you don't remember him when you were a kid in Miller Lite ads, like great taste, less filling.
Maybe that was the big in the stands. For sure. I might remember that too, but I'd have to.
Yeah,
see.
Yeah, so he was like in the stands with fans, like, which was again from him being, he just was a funny guy, yada yada. But like that led to him getting cast in this. And it wasn't until after Ward, the director, met Uecker that he learned that Uecker had actually been, for 20 years, a baseball announcer. He literally picked him because of his, like, being funny in advertisements. And probably, I know, he's been revered for being, like, Carson loved him. So he would come on The Tonight Show and be really funny. But he literally had been an announcer for 20 years for baseball. Because he's got
that voice. He's a catcher. He sounds like a baseball announcer. He's quintessential as well, you know?
This definitely put him on a bigger map, considering you're a radio announcer for Milwaukee. Obviously, your reach is not huge, especially back then.
And I like when he says he's the best color man in the business. He's like, you got anything to add? And the guy doesn't say, I don't think he says two words the whole movie.
Broadcast school is really paying off.
All that stuff's real.
It's one of my favorites.
He does say, like, he's like, you can't say goddamn on the radio. And he goes, don't worry, nobody's listening.
Ah, shit, nobody's listening. When he dabs the jack, like, behind his ear, is like, I mean, you're telling me somebody wrote something funnier than that in the history of fucking movies? Are you kidding me?
I left at that too. I didn't get it.
It doesn't even matter what it means. It's just that it's like how it's so funny. Oh my God. I literally like, I can't, it's like nonstop. I was, like I said, I was writing down like funny quotes and I'm like, oh, that's, I'm like, I can't stop typing. Dorn's such a perfect schmuck.
Oh yeah.
He's like, obviously Corbin Burnson's like obviously a well-known actor at the time, and like the funniest line is like, I thought you said you didn't have any high-priced talent. And he's like, oh, I forgot about Dorn, he's the only high-priced. shit, so good.
My fantasy football name for the longest time was Willie Mays Hayes, and it was the picture of Wesley Snipes when he slid in and doing the American Express commercial. Mm-hmm. Don't steal home without it.
Yeah,
that was the icon that I used for many a year.
Dude, I'll tell you what. When Snipes squeezes his eyes shut and he's looking for the red tag in the locker, he looks a lot like Kenny Lofton. For those baseball fans out there, now
the deep pull,
a Cleveland center fielder for many years. Dude, a lot like him.
Yeah.
So there's a really funny line in this movie. This has always been one of my favorite things about this movie, outside of the nonstop hilarity. Later in the movie when Vaughn has slept with Dorn's wife, and Dorn comes out and he's like, I only got one thing left to say. Strike this motherfucker out. Great scene. The TBS version, the TV edit version of that.
I know what mine is.
Is one of the best edits I think I've ever encountered. And while his mouth is saying, strike this motherfucker out, it says, strike this guy out.
I've just heard it as mother. They would just cut the fucker. So they're the same. No. Mother. Strike it this just, mother
it's
out.
It's the longest. Strike this guy out. As his mouth is moving to motherfucker. It's so good. It is glorious. It is one of my favorites. It is the, to me, the epitome, top of the mountain of TV edits of swears. It's so good.
My favorite is always, instead of Jesus Christ, they'll say Judas Priest. Not in this movie, but in other movies. I always thought that was funny, too.
Can we talk about my that scene in this movie?
You've got to have a couple.
Well, the first one that I guess I didn't understand, and I've seen this so many times that I didn't just blank over it. The dinner party?
Yeah.
When he goes and he follows...
We got uniforms and everything.
Right. So he follows her back to this guy's apartment who lives on sixth floor of this, you know, up-and-coming loft or whatever.
Well, I think it's a six flat.
Right. In Cleveland. Like, who builds that? And who's putting that apartment in Cleveland in 1989 or 88 or whatever? Like, nobody, right?
I don't know. My question was always, how does he get in every place without a key? Like, don't these people lock doors? Like, he just goes in the elevator and opens up into the house. Like, why would anyone be able to just go into an elevator?
Because this is the 80s.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then they walk in, and everybody's like, oh, just come in and have a drink. So he sits down. There are, two other couples there, and they're just sitting there? Like, if there were just two couples, why wouldn't you guys be, like, sitting at the bar, talking up there? Like, I don't know what the plan
like
is.
This is your weakest that
yeah, it's not a that scene
moment.
I'm just very confused about what was going on at this dinner party, because, like, she was bringing over appetizers, but there's, like, an older couple and a younger couple.
You're confused that, like, six people were hanging out and he crashed it?
No, like, they didn't seem like they were hanging out. They just seemed like they barely knew each other.
I mean, I'm sure there was some kind of maybe business dealing or business. Something with, he's a lawyer.
No. I stand by it. That's your weakest of all time.
And then lastly, though, they didn't know about the Indians? Like, it's Cleveland. Everybody knows about the Indians.
Yeah. So that was kind of the joke.
That part I agree
and that was
with.
Part of the joke, right? It's like, oh, they still have a team, right? Because they're so bad.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we got uniforms and everything. Yeah.
That woman was totally into him. She was about to leave her.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For Behringer. I'll tell you what's about to happen at a dinner party.
It's about to be a key party.
So there's you talk about that, like, and even the fact that the people in Cleveland were like, oh. You know, we'd surprise you had a team, whatever. The fact that a baseball GM would not know who Lou Brown was if he was coaching their minor league team for like 20 years, dude would clearly have known who he was. Whether he was qualified or not, it's a whole other element. But in terms of not knowing who he was, I was like, the Toledo Mudhens were definitely a part of the Indians organization,
right?
At least at one point.
Yeah. So. As the games go on and they start winning and stuff, when Serrano hits his big home run, and you know he does the whole Joe Boo, forget you, I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
Did you know he was supposed to drop the bat?
I mean, presumably.
And Dennis Haysbert got so wrapped up in the scene because they had like extras and stuff, and everybody started cheering because he actually hit a home run, and he just kept running with the bat.
I mean,
and
it makes
ran
sense.
The bases
he worships
with
the bat
in hand.
So it plays for his character, I feel like.
It does play for the character.
Because he wanted to keep the bat warm, hat for bat.
Dude, and like, the thing is, you know, and I know I didn't watch 24, but I know Haysbert went on to become kind of pretty well known for being the president on 24.
And the Allstate guy.
Right. Like, but I always, he was always the guy, Serrano.
Yeah.
He's always been Serrano to me. And Snipes, you know, you talk about Wesley Snipes, who is phenomenal in his role, but obviously went on to be a much, much bigger movie star. They said he was, like, so bad at throwing. That's why there's not one single scene of Willie Mays Hayes throwing a ball. That's how bad Snipes was at throwing a ball.
He's just martial arts, no baseball
he just
skills.
He never knew how to play He's baseball. Fast. He didn't know how to do anything.
He could run.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the misillusion or disillusion for most people. It's like, it's not just like, oh, yeah, no, you could throw or hit or whatever. No, apparently he literally could not.
Yeah, I thought.
And that's also they like why all of his running scenes were slow-mo to make him seem faster.
Like Tom Cruise?
Right.
But yeah, I thought all the baseball looked pretty good. You know, not that they're fun, but they all made it, whatever they did with editing, it made it look good.
Well, and we could talk about the man of who's maybe the most recognized from the movie, Rick Wild Vaughn. Thing. Yeah, Wild Thing. They said they shot from behind the plate. They moved the mound in, so he was throwing from essentially like 80 feet to make it seem like the ball was getting there faster. But you couldn't tell that from obviously shooting from behind the plate. It's great, smart editing, and it works. And Vaughn, Charlie Sheen, actually was a baseball player growing up, so he knew how to throw the ball. And I think they said he was like, I don't know if he got like invited to a camp, something along the line. He was good, we'll say that. So he knew exactly how to pitch, but he never obviously touched 100 or 101.
What would be the song, if you're a relief pitcher, what would be the song that you come out to?
God, it's hard to not think of the songs that are out there. Enter Sandman is, in real baseball, the most famous for Mariano Rivera, which is a fucking great.
Do I want the crowd hyped, or do I want something for me?
I'll be honest. I know my answer, but go ahead.
To answer your question first, I think I would want the crowd hyped. Like, I see what's the Mets player or whatever that has that.
Yeah, that's it. It's that's 100%. That's the right answer, by the way. Timmy Trumpet's Narco intro is the 100% the best answer, because. By the way, no one knew that was the answer until we heard it, and then you're like, no, mm-hmm. That's it. That's the winner.
So it's yours.
Danza Kuduro.
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course. Yeah, of course that's yours. Yes.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't think I love it for a closer, but I know what you're getting at.
Yeah.
And I respect the choice,
I feel like it's just not quite there, and I don't have by the way, I don't have the answer. I don't have a song that's not getting played. But yeah, I'm pro the Mets trumpet narco song.
Yeah, I mean this movie was huge when I was a kid. Like everybody in my school, we quoted it all the time. Like we watched it so much.
They should.
Yeah, I mean we were a perfect age for it, right? So I was 8, 9 years old when I watched it. It was exactly the right age, I think, for this movie. Even though that's why there's a lot of swears and stuff, but we would repeat those lines like they were. That was like our intro to how to talk that way.
The Brady, did you catch with 14 minutes left after Vaughn strikes out Haywood, the Iowa fan in the audience?
I did not catch a Hawkeye. We got a Tiger Hawk out there?
Just a Iowa 14 jersey in black and gold.
Kingsbury, or what are we doing here? Is that pre-Kingsbury?
Surprisingly, 14 minutes left in the movie. Maybe he was he was the time edit, so.
That's pretty funny. I did not catch that, surprisingly. I saw that the Yankees, the opponent here in the DS, like their big dude. Shit, I forgot.
Haywood.
Haywood. Dude, he was a pitcher, a real life baseball pitcher. Like they had, that was straight up just a former baseball player, a pitcher who they said never hit because he was in the American League. And they had him be this like big bad for the Yankees. The big bad first baseman with a nice mean mug look. Dude, the baseball scenes, in my opinion, are fantastic. Like we talked about that just a minute ago in terms of like the editing, but the suspense with like the batters that are up, I mean, I feel like they play out so perfectly. Like the music's good, the action's good. It is I can't stop gushing, guys. I just don't think they do a lot wrong.
No, and I think one of the things that it's funny that you say that is because now if you tried to make a baseball movie today, I think it doesn't hold up because kids don't watch
baseball.
It'd
be gimmicky.
Right? And like, it's funny. We started watching the Savannah Bananas documentary on ESPN Plus with the kids.
Oh, I didn't know there was a doc.
Yeah, so they, it's like Welcome to Banana Land or something like that.
I would be
and
interested
they,
in that even. I think they're an interesting team.
They are, and they literally said like we want it to be fun, and we want it to, you know, make sure like the games go off quickly, that people are always entertained. There's no downtime and stuff. So they ended up like modifying the rules. And they play with modified rules, but they've made teams of baseball players that play under these rules. Yeah. So they have two teams, and they actually try to win, and just to try and keep kids interested. And it's funny because the boys aren't – we've never watched baseball. Like, Brooklyn may have turned it on, like, once or twice. He actually might have listened to it on the radio at one point. But they're interested. They're like, hey, can we keep watching? Can we, you know, see what's going on and watch what's happening? And so – I think this might have been, you know, a movie along those lines where it's like, hey, if you can make it interesting and you can make it fun and, you know, people will pay attention to it. So they caught Brady, so.
Look, and this is definitely, like I said, there's no doubt this is, I'm hooked on this one because of me growing up. And this is where I have a massive disconnect with movies that are, do they resonate with people today? I think I need to take it to work. I need to go to the office and say, like, have you seen this? I need you to watch it, and I need to know if it hits, because I rewatched this and I laughed for 90 minutes, like almost I let up, and then I was immediately laughing again. Like, there are minimal to no breaks. It's just funny throughout the entire damn movie. And then you tie in the story arc, which I think is borderline. You're rooting for the underdog, right? Like, you're rooting for this team of misfits against an owner, an owner that is out to get them, and like, it's just great.
Actively sabotaging their success, putting them on the puddle jumper, and then on the bus, and then
only one thing left to do:
win the whole fucking thing.
Martin, I mean, you're the least of the sports fan amongst us.
Yeah.
Is this the best movie you've ever seen?
I told you, I was the first one that said it. Yeah, I loved the rewatch, and I do love this movie, but it is a nostalgia play for me. I think you are going to answer your question about, like, if you make the younger people in your at work or something watch this, I really don't. Even the baseball fans, I feel like, are going to be like, nah, I don't know. It was kind of lacking for me, because there's just something about.
Are the jokes not funny to humans under 30?
Yeah, I think there's something more. I think you're downplaying the amount of nostalgia and the memory of loving this movie more than
it's accidental. If I am, but I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I.
But I agree. I love it, or maybe I'm overplaying that. But that's my main reason for loving it. I think is just remembering loving it as a kid. And yes, there's a lot of good lines, a lot of very good repeatable lines, which is always a big plus for us quoting people. And it's got Rene Russo, which we didn't even talk about. But yeah, I had a big crush on Rene Russo in the 80s and 90s.
I think Jelani, I mean, when she has a license plate that says Reed,
and she has a much better body than that other woman.
that's pretty funny.
Martin was hooked in on the Reed license plate.
That's all it was. Martin saw Reed and was like,
"Yeah, hot librarian who does the what was it? The 200 individual,
200 IM
medley,
individual medley."
Yeah, no, that's good. It's a good call out. Guys, I don't know. I feel like I can't stop.
So, is it better than Dumb and Dumber? So we watched that a couple, whatever, not that long ago, and you said that was like a maybe an all time best comedy.
Yeah.
What goes higher?
They're both in my top five.
Both in top five. That's what you're saying.
They're in my top five. They're in my top five.
Jelani?
I don't know. I hate the best.
Yeah, right. But it's hard.
Yeah. I will put this
Jelani,
in.
Jelani, yeah. Does this fall anywhere for you? Is this?
This is it's a top five baseball movie.
Oh, well, that's the qualifier of qualifiers.
It's a baseball comedy.
I'd be okay, fair. Okay, hey, that's a fair question. Jelani, top five baseball movies. Martin, here's your time to think.
All right. So I go.
No order. Just give me five. I'm not. I understand you might say them in order.
All right. No order.
I'm not telling you to rank them. All right. Just give me your top five baseball.
Top five baseball movies. The Natural, The Sandlot, Major League, Little Big League.
Field of Dreams.
He's not sure yet.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm trying to think of any other.
It's
Mr. 3000.
Himself in a corner. Now I don't even believe
it. No, that was.
Wait, what did you say?
All right, now rank them.
Mr. 3000. Oh.
How about Mr. Baseball?
No, I'm not a Selleck fan.
No, not a Selleck fan.
All right, Martin, do you got a top five baseball movies? No order.
Field of Dreams, Major League. I would maybe even put Major League as my number one. Sandlot as well. Those are probably the only three that I actually really love.
Okay.
But maybe I'm missing something. I can't. Can you name me some other ones? Because I don't love The Natural that much. So
Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Angels in the Outfield.
I like Rookie of the Year.
I'm throwing you some outliers that Jelani didn't already
for
say.
The love of the game.
Right.
Love of the game.
Yeah, oh, Bull Durham fan. For sure. Bull Durham.
Yeah.
So that's four. I don't know.
League of Their Own.
Yeah, me.
League of Their Own's the one that's outstanding. That it's living a. Jelani didn't mention it. I feel like that's the one that everyone says. To me, it's less funny and less good than other movies, but I it's held up here on a pedestal. I just don't personally hold
it. What
about
there. Major League 2?
No. You don't think the Nat, and I'm not judging you. I'm just saying you said you don't think The Natural is that good.
Watched it really one time in high school. Maybe I need to rewatch it, but I'm surprised.
I'm not telling you to rewatch it, but I think this is gonna be a nostalgia play for me. That is, I feel like I watched The Natural a shit ton when I was a kid,
I know,
like,
it's funny because it's an old movie, and you're telling me to watch an old movie.
Right, but it wasn't. Old
it wasn't. Yeah, I don't think it's that old.
When I was watching it, it wasn't old. When I was over and over again watching it. In hindsight, yes, but I do hold it in a nostalgic spot. It's always been for me, Major League. To me, Major League's the best baseball movie there is. I don't mind that it's. I think the fact that it's a comedy is like a deterrent for most people, and to me, it shouldn't be. It's a baseball movie. It's absolutely amazing. So much fun, and The Natural is.
I thought it was older than 84, so my bad.
No, that's what I was going to say.
I thought it was
5 years older than this movie.
Yeah, right. That's wild.
A lot of people have always said, like I've heard that The Natural isn't like necessarily thought of as such, but I always have held it as and being on that list. So, Major League and The Natural are there. I'm going to go with Field of Dreams.
Moneyball. Sorry, that's my fifth.
Oh shit! Yeah. Moneyball is.
Yeah.
Been shoved into my fourth, and I'm gonna go with
Hardball, Keanu Reeves.
God, I do own it.
It is a good one too.
That's my sixth.
But I'm gonna go with it's not Rookie, The Rookie with Dennis Quaid.
You gotta put a Quaid on there.
I'm going for Love of the Game, and I'm gonna make the people mad. Those are my top five baseball movies.
No Bad News Bears.
Sorry. Nope. Sorry, I'm not sorry. That's what the kids say these days.
Sorry, not sorry, for sure. Trouble with the Curve.
No, the Fan.
Nobody likes
Trouble with the Curve. Trouble with the Curve. I have seen a lot of TikToks on that, though, with Matthew Lillard being very unhappy with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, I could see that. I think a lot of people are unhappy with Clint Eastwood.
What's the other one with John Hamm? Million Dollar Arm?
Yeah. I haven't seen that.
I haven't either. I'm going to go on a limb and say that it's not cracking my top five.
How about Summer Catch with Freddie Prinze Jr.?
Oh, what Fever about pitch. Fever Pitch? Fallon and Barrymore.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? You know,
Dazed and Confused, honestly, though, a baseball movie, they have a scene where he's
ooh,
playing.
Fair point. To be honest, though, Jelani, I think it's fair that I did not include The Sandlot, and I'm questioning if I need to revisit. You did, and that's why I'm calling it out.
Yeah. I could push that.
I think the logic is that it's better than For Love of the Game, and I threw For Love of the Game in because I was kind of like at a, I was like, do I really have a fifth? But I've always enjoyed that movie. For me, Major League and The Natural seem like irreplaceable, and I think Field of Dreams as well. I think it's got. I don't see that getting replaced.
You guys don't love Bull Durham, huh?
I didn't dislike Bull Durham. I think that's one of those that probably falls a little before my time, mm-hmm. and I don't hold it where a lot of people do. I think Kevin Costner would probably tell you that it's better than For Love of the Game, but I have seen For Love of the Game so many times that I don't know that I would have a hard time replacing it.
Have you guys
that,
ever seen a movie called Mr. Destiny with John Belushi? Or
yeah.
Jim Belushi? Yeah. It's basically like It's a Wonderful Life, but with – actually, it's got Renee Russo in it too, I think.
Yeah? She had – how many baseball movies?
No, it's – oh, yes, it is. Renee Russo and Linda Hamilton.
Yeah. It's – there's a bunch of them out there, and it obviously is the debatable aspect of that. But I just feel like, to me, and it feels like I think we're all in agreement – Major League's on that list.
Yeah, it's on that list. It might be my number one, but there's
to me, yeah. it is mine, and I think that it's. I just feel like it's discounted because it's a comedy, and to me, it doesn't make any sense.
No, because there's a lot, like we said, there's a lot of good actual baseball in it too. Just because it happens to be entertaining and makes you laugh, shouldn't take away from the baseball aspect of it, and that's a big part of it.
As always. It's very bad to steal Joe Blue's rum, but it's very good to subscribe to our Film Fathers podcast wherever you listen. Thanks, and play ball!